You're going to have, there's going to be miracles happen in your lives this week. I know some of you, I don't know if any of you have personally led someone to the Lord, but I know it's your desire. Because if you're saved, I know you truly have a desire to lead someone to Jesus. We were in a city, I can't remember if, guys, if y'all remember, shout it out. But we were in one city, and there was this lady. She knew I was coming. I did a evangelism weekend at their church, and she told the Lord, she said, "Lord, I'm not going to get anybody saved unless you save my brother." In Maine, Rockland, Maine, last year. She said, "I don't want anybody saved if my brother's not getting saved." And so I did a training that night like I'm going to do tonight. And she went home and she took this card and her brother actually asked her, "How'd it go tonight?" And she sat down with him and read this card and her brother got saved. Just a miracle. And so I don't care how old you are, if you're 7 years old, 70 years old, I can teach you how to win someone to the Lord. And it be a wonderful journey. You know, the most important thing that you could do is to get saved. For you to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. The second greatest thing is for you to lead someone else to Jesus. And then for me, the third greatest thing is to teach someone how to lead someone to Jesus. So that's what we're going to do tonight. Before I get started in on that, Steve, would you come up and just kind of tell how disaster relief began at the ministry?
Sure. Hi, I'm Steve. Met some of you. Years ago, I was on the executive team at Kenneth Copeland Ministries. We were in a meeting, and John Copeland, which is Kenneth Copeland's son and the CEO, was addressing all of us directors, and there had been a major fire out in the San Diego area. And he looked over and said, "Man, you know, we have partners out there. And, you know, I just can't stand the thought of them being out there feeling like they're alone, having needs." And so he basically turned to me and said, "Look, I want you to take some cash and get on an airplane and go to San Diego and find our partners and help them." So me and one other guy jumped on an airplane the very next day. You know, when the Copelands say do something, you just know that means right now. And so, yep, okay. So we went to San Diego, and we had 347 partners in that San Diego area that were in the fire area. And we were able to find every single one of them or find their house and check and make sure that it was okay and leave them a note saying that we'd been there and we were blessed to see their home was okay. And then the ones, you know, that were displaced because their home was burnt, we found every single one of them. And one of the most interesting ones, there was an elderly lady that was in a mobile home park that had lost everything. And we had no way, we had no idea where she was. We were actually over visiting another partner who was a pastor in the area. And he said, "Oh, well, you know, some of the people in my church are partners with KCM." And I just said, "Well, hey, we're looking for," and gave her name. And he said, "I know exactly where she's at." So we were actually able to connect with her. And what was very interesting about her is her and her husband, all of their lives have done evangelism in Mexico, have gone over the border and evangelized Mexico. And her biggest concern wasn't her house. It wasn't anything. Her biggest concern was she had lost her projector and her Spanish film that helped her evangelize Mexico. That was her biggest concern. She was very upset over that. And so we bought her a, you know, she was hauling around one of these old projectors like we all went to school with. You remember those, you know, that they had a card on? She was hauling one of those things around. And a big, huge reel-to-reel. So we actually bought her a digital media player projector and then gave her a digital version of that same film. So now she went from hauling around about 75, 80 pounds to hauling around about a pound and a half. And she loved that. And but anyway, she went right back to evangelizing Mexico. But he's always, no matter where we go, if it's a tornado or something and, you know, homes are destroyed, and I mean, you can't even find houses because every house is gone. There's no way to even see where you're at. He always makes a way for us to find our partners. And so we were actually out here last year right after the floods and in about six or seven cities in this area. And we're able to find, you know, we believe. Now, if you are a partner and you only have registered a P.O. box, do me a favor and call the ministry and give us your physical address. I can't find you with a P.O. box. So give us your physical address, because if something happens, we will come looking for you. And we'll come looking to help, and we still bring big wads of cash. So you want us to find you. Okay? You want us to find you. And because I don't know if you've ever been in a disaster. Obviously, you guys probably had friends and family or people you knew that went through this one. Cash is king. You know, a lot of times banks are disrupted depending on what happens. And if you have cash and you need something done to your home or you need housing or whatever, if you have cash, you go to the front of the line. So cash is very good. And that's what I tell these cities. You know, we go and they're like, well, these guys are bringing food and these guys are bringing water. What are y'all bringing? I said, we're bringing the most important thing that you need in this community. Right. What's that? Cash. Move over and let us in. And they usually do. We always get in. But anyway, so then that was the first trip. And then about 6 months after that, John said, look, I want to start disaster relief. I want us to start going. So we started going to all the major disasters. And then it was been about, Riley got moved out and had started doing evangelism as a standalone department. And then about, I guess about a little over 2 years ago now, he said, look, because I had some other responsibilities. He said, look, I'm going to move you out and we're going to start a department called Outreach and move evangelism in there. And you guys are going to do disaster relief and evangelism. And then just recently, probably in the last 6 months, Kenneth's granddaughter, Courtney, which is John's daughter, she has a new thing called Reaction Tour where we do kids camps in other countries and teach them about the Lord and get them saved. And so that recently has come under the outreach. So we're always in the field. And we were talking to your pastors earlier today at their home, and the field is white. It's ripe. So now is the time. So all this stuff you hear about, if you talk to someone about Jesus, you're going to offend them. If you do this or you do that, if you pray, you're going to offend someone. It's not true. It is not true. The media has lied. Everybody, you know, the laws of the land that they've put on us about prayer in school and all that stuff. As long as there's tests in school, there will always be prayer. Trust me, I was a student. My children have been students. There will always be prayer. You're not going to get it out of there. So it's just not true. So don't buy into it. Do not buy into it. People, I mean, the worst thing that can happen is somebody will say, hey, I'm not interested. And all you got to say, God bless you, brother, God bless you, sister, and just walk on. And Riley will explain why, and you'll understand what that did. Even though you feel like, hey, they didn't accept, well, something started and they're going to accept. So I'll turn it back over to Riley also, but I want to introduce our Daney cameraman, Josh. And we take him because he's small and can fit in small spaces. So.
Thank you, Steve. Y'all give Steve and Josh another hand. The Lord has blessed us with a great team, and you'll see Courtney, Brother Copeland's granddaughter, will be coming in tomorrow with Tamara, our project manager. The Lord has blessed us with an awesome team. We all get along. We love one another, and we all, our desire is to see people healed, set free, and saved. And so we have the perfect team, and I'm thankful that we have some free giveaways for you guys tonight. This book is my first book. I started winning thousands of people to the Lord. And I got up at my church at the time and gave a testimony. We had 4,000 people saved this year. And after church, this guy came up and said, Riley, you're in it for the numbers. And I said, yeah, I am in it for the numbers, because every number of people that get saved, they once were on their way to hell, and now that number is on their way to heaven. So this book, it's called It's All About the Numbers. So if you hear this weekend, here you go. If you hear this weekend, we had 200 or 300 saved. Well, we just rejoice. Amen. And this second one, that one is my first book. This one is like the whole training. I can't teach it all tonight, but this is the whole training, and it's called I Sent You to Reap, and I'm going to get into that tonight. And we have plenty of these for probably every person in here tonight. And on the blue ones, I know we probably have one for each family. So y'all get some of that on the way out. And let's just jump into the Word. Did you bring your Bibles tonight? Or your iPods or iPads? Go over to Ephesians. I want to start there. just to kind of set some foundation. I'm a new guy. Y'all don't know me. I don't know you. So we're going to get to know one another tonight. Amen. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. It says in verse 11, now I'm reading out of the New Living Bible. I believe when I'm going up to someone in the streets, I'm not going to say these and thous and thus and that. I'm going to be normal. Amen. So I read out of the New Living. And so in Ephesians 4, verse 11, it says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and pastors and teachers. Notice there it didn't say a gift of evangelism. I was in my church early on. I started going out leading teams, and I had one of the guys come up to me and say, Riley, I'm not like you. I don't have the gift of evangelism. Well, I've looked all through the Bible, and there's no such thing. Amen? There is a gift of an evangelist, and that's what I'm doing tonight. And the Bible says their responsibility, my responsibility, your pastor's responsibility, is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. So it's our responsibility to get tools, show you how to do it, train you, mobilize you to do the work of the ministry. It's not your pastor's job to build this church. Amen? It's your job. Amen? There is not a gift of evangelism. There's a gift of an evangelist. Now, when I'm out going to get groceries for my family or out getting gas in my car, I am Riley the believer, right? And it's my responsibility to hear and obey. You know, Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. Jesus just didn't go around blasting everywhere, did he? So all we're responsible to do is exactly what he tells us when he tells us. I was at a, just Riley the believer, okay? I was at a gas station, and this guy walks up, and he starts giving me a story. And I know y'all have had people walk up asking you for money and things. Well, this guy walked up. He had a one-gallon gas can. He started telling me this story. Yeah, my mother or my aunt or somebody, they're sick. I need to go to them. I'm out of gas. I just need 1 gallon of gas. And while he's saying all this, the Lord told me to fill his tank up. So I let him say all that, and I said, well, sir, when I get finished pumping the gas, back your car over here and I'll just fill it up, or I'll put gas in it. I didn't say I'd fill it up. So guess what he pulls up in? A big old Suburban. Now, I don't know if y'all filled up one of those. I don't know if any of you have one of those, but you need to have faith every time you put gas. I just got blessed with a 1-ton quad cab Dodge diesel, and I thank God every time I fill it up. Amen. So he backs it up. I was like, thank you, Jesus. So I start pumping it, $10, $20, $30, $40, $50. I was like, help me, Jesus. Lord, you meet all my needs according to your riches and glory. $60, $70, $80. I was like, my Lord. No wonder he's out of gas. $90, $100 even. And that guy's over there smiling. You didn't have to fill my truck up with gas. You didn't have to fill it up. I said, sure I did. I said, the Lord told me to. Don't run off. I need to talk to y'all. They were getting in the car ready to pull off. I said, I need to talk to you guys. And the Lord had me share our script with them. And then they both received Jesus. Now, how many of y'all would pay $100 to see two people get saved? Anytime the Lord has me bless someone, I don't care what it is. If I have it in my pocket, he tells me to do it. He's going to repay me. Amen? Because the Bible says he who reaps receives wages. That's not talking about a spiritual wage. That is a monetary wage. Amen. Go over to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 55. I'm going to share with you three scriptures that is the foundation for how we do this. Have any of y'all been to an evangelism training before? Anyone? Okay, those of you that have, I want you to lay aside tonight. I'm not saying throw it away, but this will be something you've never heard before. But I want you to look at these scriptures like it's fresh. But look at Isaiah 55, verse 11. It says, it is the same with my word. Say my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. When God sends his word out, it will not return void. I know some of you have been believing God for years. Maybe a word he spoke to you, it will not return void. It will prosper where he sends it. Go over to Jeremiah chapter 1. It says in verse 12, it says, and the Lord said, that's right, and it means that I'm watching, and I will certainly carry out all my plans. King James there says, I'm watching over my word to perform it. Isn't that awesome? Go over to Hebrews. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every thought be established. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, for the word of God, say the word of God. Notice there that didn't say Riley's personal testimony. See, we've been taught, make up a 30-second testimony. You were on drugs, you did this, the Lord saved you, he healed you, and then dump that on the person you're supposed to talk to. Your personal testimony is awesome that the Lord's healed you and done all that, but that is for discipleship. Amen? That is never meant to get someone saved. It says, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes. He's the one whom we're accountable. Now let's dissect this scripture. It says the word of God is alive and powerful. We just read that his word will not return void. We just read that God is watching over his word to perform it. He's watching over his words to manifest it in someone's life. And did you know the Bible says that faith comes by what? Hearing and hearing by the word of God. Amen? So if I walk up to someone tonight, maybe they're walking downtown here, I go outside and I walk up to them, I should speak the word of God to them. Because we have a promise that God said his word will not return void. If I walk up to them and say, sir, Romans 3 says we've all sinned. And he says, I don't want none of that crap. Then God's word will not return void in his life, right? My faith is more in this than anything. And did you know that there is enough power in the word of God to bring itself to pass? Isn't that amazing? There's enough power in this to bring itself to pass. It's so awesome. The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit. We've called this soul winning. But what actually happens when someone gets saved? Speak. No, but what gets born again? Their spirit. Do we all agree on that? Right? Because your spirit gets reborn. The Bible says the word divides it. So when I walk up to someone, I'm going to speak the word of God because their spirit will receive that word. I don't care if they're New Age or whatever they are, how many stickers of they have on their car or whatever, the word of God will pierce through that hard heart. Amen? So the word of God is alive, powerful, sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. We were downtown one night, and this guy was sitting on a bench, and I walked up to him, and I said, "Hey, man, I want to share something with you." And I went down through this script, and I got to the point of the prayer, and he said, "I don't want to pray that prayer." I said, "Why not?" And he said, "Because of what I'm about to do." He got in a cab and left. I didn't know what he meant till this next time we were out witnessing. We were at a convenience store, and we went in to get a drink. And this guy walks out with a 24-pack of beer. And he got in his truck, and the Lord told me to go over there and talk to him. And I said, "Hey, man, how's it going? Do you live in the area? Do you go to church anywhere?" I said, "If you died right now, where would you go?" He said, "Man, I don't know. I don't care." I said, "Well, let me share this with you, Romans 3, Romans 6, Romans 10. I said, "Pray this prayer with me." He's like, "I ain't praying that prayer." I said, "Why not?" And he had his girlfriend huddled up next to him, and he had that case of beer in the cab with him, and he said, "Because of what I'm about to do." He was about to have a good time, right? Yeah. So we thought. And so I said, "Well, I guarantee you, you pray this prayer with me, you'll never be the same." And so he said, "Okay, I'll say the prayer." So I led him in the prayer of salvation, and he just said it, and the Lord said as he was praying it, "Tell him if he truly meant it," because I know some of y'all are like, "He didn't mean that prayer. He just said it to shut you up." Well, the Bible says if you believe in your heart, what's your heart? What is your heart? Your spirit, the part that gets saved. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you'll be saved. Isn't that awesome? Another thing, trust in the Lord with all your spirit. Lean not to your own soul. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. This guy said the prayer with me. The Lord told me as I was praying that prayer, have him just do a 360 in the parking lot on his way out if he truly meant that prayer. Not a peel out, you know, do donuts or whatever. He just did a big circle in the parking lot, honked and waved on his way out. God is good, amen? His word will not return void. You know, the Bible says, go over to 2 Corinthians. I want to keep here on this point for a minute. I know your pastor has taught you, actually 1 Corinthians, forgive me. I know your pastor's taught you that we are a threefold being, right? We are a spirit being. When we die, our spirit will go to heaven, right? We have a soul, our intellect, which is made up of our mind, our will, and our emotions. And then we live in a physical body. So when we walk up to someone, we're speaking to the spirit man. You know, the real guy. It's like, I remember every time when I got witnessed to on the inside, I was like, man, I need to do what they're telling me. I need to pray, but I've got some fun I'm about to have. I don't want to change all that. Well, in the past, we've taught them they need to quit drinking, quit smoking, quit going out, quit doing. Nobody wants to do that because we've tried to reason with their soul. Amen. But look at this in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. It says, but people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it, for only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. The natural man thinks the things of God are foolish. Now, that word foolishness in the Greek, if you'll study that out, the word is Mariah. And that's where we get our word moron. And you know what a moron is? A moron, the definition, is the highest classification for mental deficiency above an imbecile or an idiot. So the strong man in their life has blinded their eyes, thinking the things of God are idiotic and moronic and foolish. So why would they give us time? Because in the past, evangelists have argued with their soul, their mind, their will. We don't have to prove anything. Did you know that this has been the best-selling book of all time? The Word of God. We don't have to defend this. You don't have to defend your church. Amen? The Word of God will not return void. Amen? And go over to 2 Timothy. At the end, I'm going to open it up for questions. I hope I will answer all your questions as I'm teaching tonight, but at the end, I'll open it up for a few questions. Look at 2 Timothy 1, verse 5. It says, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I know that same faith continues strong in you. Verse 6, this is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and a sound mind or self-discipline. Y'all have heard that scripture ever since you've been saved. You know, we made up cute little Sunday school songs. God's not giving me a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. You know, we made cute little songs about it, and we've stopped at that scripture. But look at what verse 8 says. God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. So if he didn't give us the spirit of fear, where's it coming from? Satan, the enemy. Amen? The enemy knows you're saved. He can't do anything about that now. Amen? He cannot do a thing about it. You're sealed, you're signed, sealed, and will be delivered. Amen? You're there. But he's going to do everything he can to keep you from speaking God's word out of your mouth. Do you know that? He's actually going to confuse you once you say, okay, we got a guy coming. We got to start sharing our faith. Pastor just preached on evangelism. Okay, I want to obey my pastor. I want to obey God. And then you go to start witnessing, and what happens? You forget the scriptures you're supposed to use. You forget your tracts and things. You forget, and you get all shaky, and the spirit of fear comes on you. Did you know there is a spirit of fear? It comes on you to keep you from doing the things of God. Amen? God has not given us a spirit of fear. So let's see what he did give us. He gave us power, love, and a sound mind. So let's look at, first of all, the power. Keep your place there in 2 Timothy. Go to Romans. I want everything God has for me. Amen. Romans 1, verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of this good news about Christ. Say good news. It says there, it is the power of God at work. The good news is the power of God. Say the word of God is the power of God. It says, it's the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes. Go over to 1 Corinthians again. Isn't that awesome? 1 Corinthians 1:18, it says, the message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. Say the word of God. is the power of God. We've had prayer times in our church, got down on our knees at the altar. Lord, send your power. Lord, send your power. Lord, send your power. And he said, I've sent you my word. I mean, we could have saved all that energy and just spoke his word out in the street and seen some people saved. Amen? But look over at, where was I going, Lord? Thank you, Father. Go back to 2 Timothy. Thank you, Lord. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. The word of God is the power of God. There's a scripture I need that just, in Jesus' name, I'm getting it back. Amen. Y'all believe with me? Thank you, Lord. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Thank you, Lord. I'll get it. It'll come. I'm a believer, not a doubter. Amen. So he gave us the power. We use his word, and then we do this in love. Go over to back to 1 Corinthians. Y'all don't mind if we do a little Bible study tonight, do you? We've prayed for the power, and he gives it to us through his word. Look at 1 Corinthians 13. It says, I can speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but if I didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans, possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor, even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Now, you know that the Bible says God is love, right? And so if we're saved and God is on the inside of us, then we are love, right? So these next verses, we could just put our name in there where it says love. When Riley's out witnessing, or even when he's going about his day with his wife, with his kids, Riley is patient and kind. This is the key to evangelism. Be patient, be kind. Verse 4. Riley is not jealous, boastful, proud, or rude. Did you know you can evangelize and not be rude? How many of us have been evangelized too, and it's been a little rude? Amen. Well, guess what? That was not God. Amen. God is not rude. And then it says, it does not demand its own way. Well, Riley, when the Lord was showing me this, I was like, Lord, how can I be a witness for you and not demand someone to say a prayer with me? Because we can't make them make that choice. Amen? We do not demand our own way. We do it in love. Amen? We put our faith in the Word of God. It says there, love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. I want to hang out here for just a second. Love keeps no record of being wronged. Well, we've got Thanksgiving coming up in a few months. How many of us have that family member that every time they come to Thanksgiving or Christmas, you know, we get a little irritated with them? Amen? Do y'all not have a family member like that? Praise God, you're blessed. Love is not irritable and keeps no record of being wronged. We had a family member like that in our family. And me and my wife just believed God for his salvation. I mean, we prayed and loved on him, never had a confrontation with him. And you're like, well, Riley, they owe me that $1,000 for that motor. They needed a motor in their car, and I gave them that $1,000, and That's been 15 years ago. Well, guess what? Sow it as a seed. Because you harboring that unforgiveness is keeping you from receiving your healing. Sow it as a seed. Amen? Love keeps no record of being wronged. Love does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices when the truth wins out. Do you know that the Bible says His word is truth? When His word wins. Amen? Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. No matter what you're going through tonight, I don't care what it is. Steve and I are just guys. Josh, we're just like you. Your pastor, just like you. We have problems. We go through things. But love never fails. Amen? Maybe some of you have a decision you need to make when you go home tonight, or a phone call or an email or a text. What would love do? Amen? Maybe some of these homeless people that walk in by here and they ask you for $5 or, man, you got some change, and you get upset about that. What did Jesus do? Amen? Love never fails. That family member, no matter what it is, love never fails. The Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Well, how do you have a sound mind when you're witnessing? Could I get some of the ushers to pass these out, please? How do you have a sound mind when you're witnessing? Well, I'm about to teach you how to have a sound mind. And that's why we haven't done it in the past. One of the reasons is we don't know how to do it, right? Or maybe you feel like you need more confidence. Well, I'm giving that to you tonight. Anyone can do it. Amen? The first time I got a word of knowledge, and I want to let you know, when you start witnessing, the Lord's going to start using you and blessing you and giving you things to help you do what He's called you to do. We were downtown Fort Worth one night, and I was passing these tracts out, and I was just shotgunning it. You know what that means? Just everybody you see, you just throw them out, and whoever get. I don't do that anymore. Now I'm a sharpshooter for Jesus. Amen? What that means is I follow Jesus' example. Excuse me. He says, I don't do anything other than what I see the Father do. I don't say anything other than what I hear the Father say. Did you know when Jesus was walking and this blind man hollers out, Jesus, Jesus, you can heal me, you can heal me. And Jesus walked up to the guy. He picked up sand. He spit in it, made clay, put it on the guy's eye, and he got healed. Where did Jesus have that thought? Do what? Right. Jesus was in constant communion with the Heavenly Father. This is not rocket science. This is easy. Every day, all we're responsible to do is listen to the Lord, talk to Him, and pray. You know, the Bible says pray without ceasing. That's all day, every day. Pray, Lord, I thank you. Lord, is there anything in this when I'm going to get groceries, Lord? Is there anyone in here you want me to talk to? Lord, is there anyone here you want me to bless? Father, I thank you when you get in your car. Lord, I thank you for this wonderful car you blessed me with. Lord, show me. Do you want me to take someone to church? Amen. We're blessed to be a blessing. Amen. So the Heavenly Father downloaded that method of getting this guy healed right then. That was not a random thought Jesus had, because in Scripture, you don't see Him doing that healing that same way. He didn't start the spit in the mud ministry. Amen. Amen. We only do what the Lord tells us to do. Now I'm going to show you how to get someone saved. But you only go to those that the Lord tells you. Amen? We don't, and that's going to set some of you free because you think you got to get all of Longmont saved or all of Boulder County saved. You're not responsible for that, amen? You guys fish in a different pond than I fish in, right? We're only responsible to fish where we're at. Jesus said, if you follow me, I'm going to teach you how to catch people. And each one of you are anointed. I don't care what your background is, where you're from, you know, what you, where you're at on the financial scale or whatever. Maybe you're a timid person. I used to be the most shyest person you'd ever meet. I mean, I would be so scared to go into a grocery store, and once I checked out, I wouldn't even look at the checker, the cashier. I was afraid that she was going to say more than what the price was for my groceries. I used to be a handyman guy, and at lunchtime, if I didn't take my lunch, I would never go to a sit-down restaurant where you have to look at those other people in the restaurant. That was before cell phones. You know, now you can fake it. You can go in there, sit down. You're bored. You flip through the emails that you haven't got. You... Right? You look at the Facebook likes that you didn't get. You just posted that picture on Instagram and nobody's liked it yet. You keep going back. We didn't have the cell phones then, and I was very shy, so I would never go into a restaurant. And finally, I was just like, Lord, you're going to have to free me of this. And he did. With me seeking him and just doing what he told me, when he told me. You know, it's kind of like when you learned how to ride a bicycle, that your parent or your uncle, whoever, that friend or family member, they didn't just throw you on a 10 speed and told you to just take off. That would have been dangerous, right? Destructive. Could have got killed, probably. You started out with a little tricycle when you're a baby or whatever, two or three, and then you graduated up to a little bike that had training wheels. And that little bike was closer to the ground, right? So if you did fall, it wasn't that far. And then you graduated, and then one day your parent or whoever that person was in your life, they gently walked beside you and gave you a little push. And you began to ride it. And now, years later, if I told you to get on a bike, you'd get on it and take off. I am that person in your life to gently guide you into a lifestyle of evangelism. This is not an event we're putting on this weekend. This is a lifestyle you're going to do for the rest of your life. I know some of you have... family members that aren't saved, and I'm going to show you tonight how to do it. So, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I'm just going to go through this card and show you how we do it. When we walk up to someone, first of all, before we go out, we ask the Lord, Lord, who is it we're supposed to talk to? Have you ever been in a grocery store or somewhere? And maybe this random person just starts talking to you, and you're like, what is up with this? No one ever talks to me. Why is this person just unloading on me? Well, that was a divine connection. That person the Lord connected you with, or maybe you're in a store, or maybe you're getting gas somewhere, a convenience store, or maybe at a mall or at the park, and you just see someone, and you're like, man, there's just something about that person. I need to talk to them, or, you know, Lord, what do you want to do here? Well, that's the Lord showing you, I want you to talk to that person. And we always pray, we ask the Lord to show us things, and he will. When you surrender yourself to this, he'll show you. We ask him, we walk up to him after he showed us. We say, hey, how's it going? Do you live in this area? This first question is just an icebreaker. Just getting the ball rolling, starting to talk. And you keep control of the conversation. We don't debate with people. Well, Riley, what if they want to start talking about their religion or this and that or the trees or the sky or the moon or whatever? We keep control. We don't talk about all that. We don't debate. We don't have to debate. I used to debate before I learned, and I wasn't getting anybody saved. Matter of fact, I had a boss one time. I worked at Sherwin-Williams Paint Store, and my boss was a Jehovah Witness. And we started debating religion, and I wanted to beat him up. I mean, we were talking, and he was trying to talk to me, and I was trying to talk to him. My ears turned red, and I wanted to fight him. And I thought, you know what? I need my job. I better shut up, because it wasn't going to turn out good. So, and you know, when you're debating, that person is not hearing you. You're there. When you start arguing, there's a big wall that goes in between both of you, and it shuts it down. So we do not debate. So, and I've made that a kind of like a policy in my own personal ministry. Someone comes up to me, there's no debate. Go to the Word. And if you're here tonight and maybe you don't agree with what I'm saying, go to the Word and let the Lord show you. Amen? And then it says, the next question, we say, hey, do you go to church anywhere? You ask the person, hey, do you live in the area? Yeah, I live over in Boulder. Okay, cool. Do you go to church anywhere? And they may say yes or no. Really, that question is just checking their spiritual gauge, right? And then this next question, we want to say this first. We don't want to just say, if you died right now, where would you go? I've changed it. You want to say, ma'am, I'm not saying this would happen. Make sure you say that. I'm not saying this would happen, but if you were to die right now, where would you go? A lot of people are going to say heaven. You know, a lot of people say, well, I'd go in the ground 6 feet under, or I'd go to a morgue, or, you know, or I'd go to Las Vegas. I mean, we've heard all kinds of things. If they say anything like that, go straight to the scriptures. If they say, I'd go in the ground, they say, well, I'd go to hell or whatever, just go straight to the scriptures. But if they say, if I ask them, not saying this would happen, but if you died right now, where would you go? And they say heaven, ask them this next question. Well, if God were to say, why should I let you into heaven, what would you tell him? Now, I know if someone came up to me tonight and said, Riley, why would God let you into heaven? If he was going to say, Riley, why should I let you into heaven? I would start telling him, because you're my Lord and Savior. Jesus died on the cross for me. I've given him my life. I've done everything that he's told me to do. You know, I'd start preaching. But if they say anything other than what we would say, just go straight to the scriptures. You don't have to do chapter and verse. Just say Romans 3 says we've all sinned. Romans 6 says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Romans 10 says everyone who calls on the Lord will be saved. I don't ask them if I can share scriptures with them. I start sharing them. I don't ask for permission because I'm not talking to their soul. I'm talking to their spirit. So I'm not asking them for permission. I start sharing the scriptures with them. And then I have them pray the prayer with me. I don't ask them if they're ready to pray. Amen. I just say, pray this prayer with me, Heavenly Father, and I start into the prayer. If they pause, I'll say this with me, Heavenly Father, and nudge them into saying the prayer. Heavenly Father, I believe Jesus died on the cross for me and rose again. I give you my life. I want Jesus Christ to come into my life and into my heart. Amen. I don't ask them if they want to pray. I simply have them pray that prayer with me. Somebody said, well, Riley, why don't you make sure they're ready? Thank you for saying that. Go to John chapter 4. Because we've been taught they need to make sure they're ready to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Right? And in John chapter 4, go back and read that in your personal Bible study time. That chapter is, I'm just going to start at verse 34, but that chapter, Jesus just wanted a drink of water. And the Bible says there in verse 4 of chapter 4, he had to go to Samaria. It wasn't common for the Jews to mix with the Samaritans, but the Bible says he had to go because the Heavenly Father told him to go to Samaria. He was being led around by his Heavenly Father. And then when he sat down with this lady, he got a word of knowledge for this lady. He read her mail. And that lady, the Bible says that lady went out and told the whole city about Jesus, and that whole city came to hear him teach. Wouldn't that be awesome? If you guys are out about your regular day, maybe at school or at work, and you had a word of knowledge for your coworker, or maybe you guys going to school, you had a word of knowledge for your classmate. They went out and told, they got on Twitter and they said, you got to come to this church. You got to come to the Reach. And the whole city comes out to hear the word of God. Wouldn't that be amazing? That's what I'm looking for. Amen. It says in John 4:34, Jesus explained, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. Jesus was about his Father's business. Amen. Jesus wasn't about making a name for himself. He said, I'm finishing his work. And then it says, you know the saying. I would probably give this more attention if it said, this is written. It's almost like, you know, we've heard, well, Granny said money's evil. Granny said the Bible says money's evil. Money's evil. You don't need money. Just get you a regular job at McDonald's. You don't need money. But what does the Bible say? The love of money is the root of all evil. Money's not evil. I use my money to get people saved. Amen. It says, Jesus said, you know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest, but I say, wake up and look around. Shake your neighbor and tell him to wake up. Now tell him to look around. It says, y'all need to get this tonight, the fields are already ripe for harvest. Your brother's ready to be saved. Your uncle's ready. Your mom and dad, your son, your daughter, they're ready. Amen? Amen. They're ready. Your co-worker's ready to be saved. Jesus said they're ready. Well, Riley, you need to ask them and make sure they're ready. No, I don't. He already said they're ready. Amen? The word of God tills up that hard heart, and it pierces. And the Bible says it discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. No matter what they were doing before I walk up to them, I'm bringing the incorruptible seed, the Word of God. Isn't that amazing? They're ready. And then it says there, the fields are already ripe for harvest. They're already ripe. Have y'all ever planted tomatoes in your backyard or any of you farmers? You have? Okay, you can probably, you're laughing. Have you done that? Do what? Praise Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. See, he's blessed to be a blessing. But I guarantee you, sir, you can look out your kitchen window and you see that bright, red, shiny, fat tomato ready to be picked. Well, if it's already ready, what does that mean? It's like maybe you've waited a day later, or maybe it's about to drop. And what happens if a tomato drops on the ground? It's not worth eating, is it? It will rot and die. Jesus said, look around, wake up, church. He's telling the church to wake up. How many of y'all have been praying for a great awakening? I know in our ministry we've heard a lot about that. But how many of y'all have been praying for the great awakening? Jesus, you know, we've been praying, Lord, send an awakening, send an awakening. He just said in his word, wake up, church. They're ready. We are the ones that will usher in the Great Awakening, because we're going to wake up, start using His Word, and we will see, thank you, Lord. Go to Mark 16. This was that scripture just then, a while ago. Look at Mark 16, and then we'll go back to John 4. Praise Jesus. I just love the Lord. There's no greater thing than winning someone to Jesus. Mark 16. Y'all have heard this, but I'm going to start in verse 15 of Mark 16, and I'm just going to highlight it. But it says there in verse 15, go into all the world, preach the good news to everyone. Verse 17, these miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. Are there any believers tonight? Amen. Verse 18 down at the end, it says they will be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed. I believe every person that we come in contact with this weekend and about your daily lives, if they need healing in their body, the Word of God says if we believe, we'll place our hand on them and they will be healed. You know, I'm going to ruin you guys, but the next time you go through a checkout line and the checker or the cashier is sniffling, don't just say, oh, God bless you, and then walk on. Grab their hand and say, sweetie, I want to say a prayer with you. The Bible says in Mark 16 that if I believe, I'll lay hands on the sick and they'll get well. The Lord will confirm His Word with a sign. You're not responsible for getting them healed. You're responsible for using His Word. Here's what I want you to see. Look at verse 19. We like to quote that scripture and tell people to go win the lost, but we stop there. We need to keep reading. Verse 19, when the Lord Jesus had finished talking with them, He was taken up to heaven, and He sat down at the place of honor at God's right hand. And the disciples went everywhere and preached, and the Lord worked through them, confirming what they said with many miraculous signs. Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the good news to everyone. He's, you know, we've seen it in movies. He's floating up into the atmosphere, right into heaven. Well, He sat down. Guess what? He's still sitting, interceding for you to speak His Word so He can confirm it with a sign. Isn't that awesome? We've been waiting. Lord, send me to the nations. Lord, send me to the nations. He's saying, speak my word to your neighbor. Amen? We've been waiting. Lord, send me a congregation. I'm called to preach. He's like, what about the three people on the bench over there? What about the bowling alley? The bingo hall? We were doing evangelism, and we had been going downtown every Friday night, you know, and sometimes it just gets repetitious. And I don't like doing things just because you do it, you know. Keep going downtown. Well, what if the Lord wants us to go to another town, or maybe He doesn't want us to go that night? You know, this one particular Friday night, I was praying, Lord, show us what to do tonight. I'm not going to move until I hear from You. And I did a little devotional before we go out. I ministered to our team, and then we go out. And the Lord said, I want you to go downtown, but a different way. Like, we would always go the interstate. Well, He wanted us to take this back road, and it's called Jacksboro Highway. 199 was the road. And there's 30 of us, we're in a big shuttle bus, and we're heading down 199. Well, there's this restaurant, and it's called Poncho's. Do y'all have those here? Well, Poncho's is a Mexican restaurant. You go through this buffet line, you get a plate. Well, when you sit down, if you're out of burritos, you just raise a little flag. There's a flag there. The waitress will come bring you more burritos or tacos or whatever. Well, the Lord said, the flag's up at Poncho's. So to me, that meant we need to stop there. So I get out with a couple of the guys, and we walk in Poncho's, and the Lord said, minister to these people. Well, if you can imagine, there were probably 20 people in the restaurant. So I just walked in, hey, everybody, I'm Riley Stevenson. I'm from a local church, a minister. I just want to say a quick prayer with you guys. Y'all are eating. Lord, we just thank you for the food. It's blessed, sanctified. Lord, I thank you that Romans 3 says we've all sinned. Lord, I thank you that Romans 6 says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life. Lord, I thank you. Romans 10 says everyone who calls on the Lord will be saved. If you're here tonight and you're not 100% sure that you'd go to heaven if you died, let's all say this prayer together. Heavenly Father, I led the whole restaurant in a prayer. Walked up to the manager, and the manager said, I've heard that prayer several times. She said, I've never prayed it till tonight. I said, well, thank you for praying that. I said, can I talk to all your waitresses? And she was like, sure. So she gathered them all up. There's about, I don't know, maybe 10 waitresses. And I said, ladies, it's no mistake, I'm in here tonight. I just want to let you know God loves you. He has a great plan for your life. And Romans 3 says, just went through it with them. I said, let's all say this prayer together. All of the waitresses said the prayer. I said, is there anyone else in this building? Because I knew the Lord had a, you know, full house salvation that night. There's two dishwashers in the back, but they only speak Spanish. I said, that's okay. I need a translator. So I had someone come back there with me, and both dishwashers got saved. So we're all fired up. This whole restaurant got saved. I get back into the shuttle bus, and one of the girls said, Riley, the bingo hall is packed. I've got 30 people that are with me, right? The whole restaurant just gets saved. I'm not going to say, oh, that's all right. We go into the bingo hall. It was packed. And I told my team, I said, there's no way we can count everyone that will get saved, but just count as many as you can. I'll have them raise their hand at the end. So we go in the bingo hall. The people are looking at us weird. You know, they're playing the game. B49! And they look up. Who are these guys coming in, you know? And so I asked the manager. I said, hey, Riley Stevenson. I gave him my card. I'm a minister from a local church. Could I say a quick prayer in between games? He's like, I don't care. The end of the game, I said, hey, everybody, I'm Riley Stevenson. I'm here from a local church. We just wanted to say a quick prayer for you. Pray that you'll win your bingo game. Lord, we just thank you that everyone here is blessed. You know, I prayed a blessing over them. Lord, I thank you. Romans 3 says we've all sinned. Romans 6, Romans 10. If you're not 100% sure if you died tonight, let's all say this. You'd go to heaven. Let's all say this prayer. Heavenly Father, all over the building, they were praying the prayer. There was this big room, and then behind that big room was the smoking room. It was packed in that room. And I said, after I said the prayer, I said, if you need healing in your body, I was just following what the Lord was telling me. If you need healing in your body, touch that place on your body. The Bible says if you believe, you'll lay hands on the sick and they'll get well. And I prayed for healing, and I said, how many of you said that prayer with us? Hands went up all over the building. There was like 160 what my team counted. It was just amazing. And so that was so miraculous. We tried to make that happen the next Friday night. Then the next Friday night, we never had another night that was like that night, because the Lord told us that night what we were supposed to do. We're only responsible for exactly when he tells us what he tells us. Amen. Matthew, can I use you for a minute as an example? We're going to do a little role play right now. Y'all don't mind if I get Matthew saved, do you? Just act like you're a sinner. And Why is your dad laughing? No. First of all, I'm going to pray, and the Lord's going to tell me something. Maybe he'll say go to Walmart, or maybe he'll say go to, is that Scoops, the name of that grocery store? King Scooper or something. Maybe I wake up, or I had a dream. King Scooper. Okay? And I'm just hearing in my spirit, King Scooper, King Scooper. You know what? I've got to go to King Scooper today. I don't know why, but something's telling me to go to King Scooper. Have y'all ever had a dream like that or something? Yeah. Well, I go to King Scooper, and I'm pushing my basket down the aisle, and I see this guy, and there's just something, I've got to talk to this guy. That's the Lord showing you exactly who you're supposed to talk to. I'm just going to start conversation. Hey, man, how's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
Cool. You live in this area? Okay, awesome. Do you go to church over there, north of town?
I've been to church a few times.
Okay, that's cool. Well, let me ask you, not saying this would happen, but if you died right now, where would you go?
I don't know.
Okay, well, let me share this with you. Romans 3 says, all have sinned. Romans 6 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life. Romans 10 says, anyone who calls on the Lord will be saved. Say this prayer with me. Heavenly Father,
I believe
Jesus died on the cross for me,
and rose again.
I give you my life. I want Jesus Christ
to come into my life
and into my heart.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all give Matthew a hand. Don't go anywhere. Okay, it is that simple. Amen. It is that simple. Are there any nurses in here or anyone that has been a nurse or you've been a nurse? You are a nurse? You've been a nurse? Have you ever injected someone with some medicine? I know Steve has been a paramedic. Well, let me ask you, when you prepare that, what is it called? Syringe? Okay, when you prepare that syringe with the medication and you inject it into someone, can they do anything about what you just put in their body? They cannot do a thing about what you just put in their body, right? Yeah. So when I started quoting scripture to Matthew, Romans 3, bam, he just got injected. The Bible says that his word will not return void. God is watching over it to perform it. It will prosper where it's sent. And guess what? This word divides between soul, spirit, joint, and marrow. It discerns the thoughts and intents of his heart. Yeah. Faith comes by what?
Hearing.
Hearing and hearing by the word of God. If Matthew walked off after I said Romans 3, there's enough power in that word to bring about his salvation.
Yeah.
Amen? Then I quote Romans 6, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life. Bam, he just got another injection. He got the incorruptible seed, the word of God that will not return void. God's watching over it to perform it. He's going to confirm his word coming out of your mouth. And faith comes by what?
Hearing
and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Bam, he just got another one. Faith comes by what? And hearing by the word of God. God is watching over this word to perform it. Amen? His word will not return void. It will prosper. His word divides between his mind, will, and emotions, and even the thoughts and intents of his heart. He was just going in King Scooper's to get some chips and salsa. Right? But he's coming out a new creation in Christ Jesus. Isn't that awesome? That's how we do this. The word of God will not return void in his life. Now, do we get him saved and just leave the baby there? No. That would be stupid. We have all of these. We give them a decision card. We get their name, address, phone number, email. And then we tear this off, and it has our website. Before we even started this type of evangelism, we created a discipleship website where Matthew can go. He can learn what's next. I just got saved. Okay, you need to get water baptized. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. What just happened? You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? I didn't know what that meant till I was 30 years old. That awesome? And then we give this to him. Then here's a, this is called the Right Choice track, and it tells them what just happened. And we have all these for you on the table. You now have a personal relationship with God. You're forgiven. You're on your way to heaven. You're a child of God. Now what do I do? You pray. You read your Bible. Attend a church. Follow the commandment of love. We've seen it said, follow the Ten Commandments. Well, who can follow all those? But if you follow love, you'll follow it all. Amen? That's what Jesus told us. And then we get their name. And then there's one more thing I like to do while I've got this guy standing here. Is I say, sir, the Bible, one more thing. Thank you for bearing with me, but there's one more thing. The Bible says that if we believe, we'll lay hands on the sick and they'll get well. Do you have any kind of pain in your body?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where at? Okay, well, normally if it's on their face or anything, I'll have them put their hand there. So put your hand on your throat where it hurts. Lord, we just thank you right now. You said that if we believe, we'll lay hands on the sick and they'll get well. Father, I thank you for taking away the throat pain, the problems, Lord. And we just call him healed in Jesus' name. We thank you for it. Now do something you couldn't do. Where'd the pain go? Now, that was normal, right? I didn't do a shama shama your mama and grab his head and go in King Scooper, right? That is so weird. I would not want to join your church if you're doing all that. And okay, we're normal, right? I just simply, you know, he touched himself. I didn't do that. Y'all give Matthew a hand. His word will not return void. Me and my oldest daughter, I just said I didn't know that till I was 30. Well, I'm 45. And I have a 20-year-old daughter and a 10-year-old daughter. I've been married. This year will be our 26th year of marriage. And me and my oldest daughter, when she was probably 16, we were in a mall. And I buy stuff to get people saved. I don't believe in going in a store just to try to get the owner saved and not buying what they're selling. I mean, the Lord gives us, we're blessed to be a blessing. So we were walking by this sunglasses kiosk and in the mall, and it says 2 for $19.99. And so I thought, hey, I'll bless my daughter Kylie, and I'll get a pair of sunglasses, and we'll all be good. And then we'll talk to this lady, get her saved, and God will get all the glory. So I said, Kylie, pick out a pair of sunglasses. I found a cool pair. Well, we're starting to pay, and as the lady's ringing us up, I said, hey, man, ma'am, where are you from? I'm from this area. I said, well, do you go to church anywhere? She said, I don't want any of that. I'm Buddhist. I was like, okay. And the Lord said, buy her a Bible. Right there, I just heard it in my spirit, buy her a Bible. I got the change back. I said, hey, ma'am, do you have a Bible? No. I said, the Lord told me to buy you a Bible. She's like, whatever, okay. So there was a bookstore down below, and if the Lord tells you to buy them a Bible, do it right then. Don't say pastor's going to send you a Bible, because it's not his responsibility. It's yours because you told them. I've been in Walmart before, lead someone to the Lord over by the sporting goods, and the Lord say, buy them a Bible. I'll run, buy a Bible, and bring it back to them. So I get the Bible. I walk up to her. It was one of those little gift $5 Bibles with plastic all around it. I said, here's your Bible, ma'am. And she was like, you know, whatever. And she said, hey, do you know where you can go to get healing? And I was like, I don't know what she's thinking, but I'm going to let her talk and see where this goes. And I said, "What are you talking about?" And she was like, "You know those places you see on TV?" And I think she was talking about when oil drips out of a statue's toe or, you know, some of those type places. I said, "I don't know about those places." But I said, "Here in your brand new Bible, do you mind if I open your Bible?" She's like, "I don't care." Turned it to Mark 16. I said, "What's going on with you?" And she said, "My back's been hurting me severely. I can barely sit here." She was sitting on one of those stools. I said, "Well, your Bible." And I said, "If God truly is God, if this is his word, and if this says it, then he is responsible to confirm it. His word says that if I will lay hands on you, that back pain will be gone." She's like, "I don't know about all that." I said, "Put your hand on your back where it's hurting you, and I'll just put my hand on your hand and we'll pray." I said, "If this is God, you'll get healed. If not, I'll go on and leave you alone." She's like, "Okay." So I put my hand on her hand and I said, "Lord, I thank you. Your word says," notice when I pray, it's not some illustrious prayer. "Lord, I thank you. Your word says." He's responsible to confirm his word. I'm just the mouthpiece to put his word in the atmosphere. His word covers them. Amen. "Lord, I thank you. Your word says that if I believe, I'll lay hands on the sick, they'll get well. Lord, I thank you for taking the pain out of her body now in Jesus' name." I moved my hand off of her. She's like, "How'd you do that? How'd you do that?" I said, "What? The pain's gone. The pain's gone." I said, "I didn't do that. Jesus did it. God is real. His word is real. Let me share this with you. Romans 3 says we've all sinned. Romans 6 says the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God's eternal life. Romans 10 says anyone who calls on the Lord will be saved. Say this prayer with me. The girl who said she was Buddhist received Jesus as her Lord after he healed her. Amen? Isn't that awesome? God is good. So what I want you to do now, I don't just come in and preach and not give y'all an assignment. So what I'm going to do right now is you find a buddy who you're sitting by. I want you to ask them, make sure you turn it over to the English side. I just turned it to Spanish. But if you are Spanish, use the Spanish side. But I want you to ask your partner, your friend, the questions, read them the scriptures, and then have them say the prayer with you. Let them do that to you, and then we'll come back and finish up tonight's training. Can you do that? Amen. Everybody get saved? Did everybody get saved? Praise the Lord. She's working on you. Amen. Amen. Okay, how hard was that? How hard was that? I don't care if they're New Age, Boulder, you know, Asian, you know, whatever. The Word of God will not return void. And you're not responsible to go to all of those, just who the Lord shows you. Don't be afraid of any name on a religion. Amen? You just go who God's supposed to tell you to. Let me ask y'all, Steve, you can go ahead and pass those out. Let me ask y'all, did any of you say anything that was not on this card? Be honest. All right, say this after me. Stick to the card. Stick to the card. One more time. Stick to the card. Okay, here's what can happen. You know, the Bible says in Romans 3, we've all sinned. You know, back when I was 15 and before I got saved, I used to do drugs, you know, go out and drink, mess with girls that did. Is that the Word of God?
No.
Will that stuff return void? Yes. So should I be saying any of that? No. And then let me ask y'all, did any of you, to the point of the prayer, did you say, would you like to say this prayer with me? Do not say that. See, when you say that, you're quoting Scripture. You're injecting them with the Word of God. It's all in the Spirit right then, right? When you get back in the natural and give them an option, they take that option and it goes into their mind, will, and emotions. They're like, no, I don't want to pray. I'm at King Scooper. I came here to get chips and salsa. I didn't come here to talk about God. Don't say that. They'll say, no, I don't want to pray. You know, because they've been taught you go to your closet and pray, or you don't talk about stuff. It's personal. So don't say, would you like to? Yeah. Jesus has already said they're ready. Amen. And I heard some of you, you know, kind of being hard on one another, but don't do that because you will reap what you sow. Amen? All right, did you get... Sorry, all you... just say I rebuke those words in Jesus' name. All right, did y'all get a green card? Okay. Here's your assignment. Write today's date down. You will never be the same as a result of this teaching. You're going to keep this card for yourself, but this is accountability. Write today's date down in your name. And then it says, my soul goal for today. Well, what does that mean, Riley? Well, how many of y'all have a financial goal of you want to make this amount of money, or you want to give this amount of money into the church this year? No one has that goal? Well, you should have financial goals. Amen? But then you should have a soul goal. I want you to change that, my soul goal for today, to my soul goal for this year. Now we're going to pray and ask the Lord. Say this after me. Lord, give me a soul goal. Give me a number of how many people you want me to lead to you this year in Jesus' name. Whatever he told you, write it down. Whether it's 500, 5,000, whatever it is, write it down. And then it says some people like to use the blue card as a survey. Do that, but if you're going to walk up to someone and say, hey, we're doing a survey. Do you live in the area? Do you go to church? Then use it as a survey, and then write the number of people you spoke with, the number of people who said yes to Christ. That would be someone who said that prayer with you. And then it says the number of people who said no to Christ. Now, you see my name, my cell number, and my email. Like I said, to the pastors today. We're not a blow-in, blow-up, and blow-out ministry. You have my cell number, my email. If you have any questions, maybe you forgot some of the training, or I've had someone call me and say, Riley, what I say after Romans 3? And they're standing in front leading someone to the Lord. So feel free to call me or email me, text me, and we're here for you. Amen? Then turn to the back. Is it blank? You know what that's for? Tally marks. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Riley, you're in it for the numbers. Yes, thank you. I am. Amen. Are there any questions? Anyone have any questions? That's fine. It's not your responsibility to... What we usually do when someone is like that is we give them this card, You Are Loved. This is a real quick track. It's short and sweet to the point. It is so short and sweet and to the point to get someone saved. There's this guy from another church. We were downtown Fort Worth passing these out. This guy from another, it was a first church, came up to me and he said, there's nothing in, did you write this track? And I said, yes, sir. He said, there's nothing in here about repent or all that. And I said, maybe the Lord's calling you to write a track, you know? See, you don't have to get offended. Someone starts cussing, you just laugh, because that, you know, the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That person cussing me or laughing at me or whatever, I'm laughing at the devil. I'm not laughing at them and disrespecting them. I'm laughing because that enemy can't keep me from doing what God's called me to do. I've had people tell me this isn't the way to do it or whatever. You know what? I'm doing it the way God told me to do it. Amen? And the way I do it brings results. I'm not going to do something, spend my time on something, and not get results. Amen. Any other questions? I always give it to them because, you know, if your name is John, there's two different ways, two or three different ways to say John, and it just takes less time letting them do it. You know, some people, they don't want to give us their information. That's fine. A lot of people give us their information. And what happens once we get that information, especially this week, we're going to be giving your church a copy of the information so you can follow up with them locally. Then we take a copy, Kenneth Copeland Ministries, we give them the salvation package. And they... if they don't have a Bible, they have an option. We'll mail them a Bible. So we will do everything we can possibly do in the natural to follow up with them. But ultimately, it's their responsibility, and the Holy Spirit is the greatest follow-upper. Amen? Right. Yeah. Yeah, even when we leave, send me the names. I mean, we do that. We have people all over the nation that send us names, and we turn them into the department that does that, and they send them the stuff. They get on the magazine list to get the magazine and everything. Any other questions? It is so easy. Little kids can do it. Amen. Start doing this. I challenge you, whatever the goal the Lord gave you, you're gonna start doing that goal, and you're going to have to change your goal because you're going to meet that goal before you realize it. All right, pull out your cell phones. I ain't pulling out my cell phone. Pull out your cell phone. All right, I want you to go to your contacts and start flipping down your contacts and find someone who's not saved. One lady said, well, I don't have anybody on my phone that's not saved. Well, you need to get out and find some friends that aren't saved. You're living in this little bubble. Amen. Jesus said, reach out. Amen. How can we reach out if we're not around people who need it? Jesus was a friend of sinners. Look at, see who needs to get saved. And then after this training, step in one of these rooms or step outside and make a phone call. Maybe it's your mom or maybe Carla or whoever was first on your list. I want you to call them up. Say, hey, I met this guy named Riley, and he told me to call you tonight. Blame it on me, please. This guy named Riley told me to call you. Who's Riley? It doesn't matter. Carla, let me ask you. We've never talked about this, but if you died right now, I know it won't happen, but if you died right now, Carla, where would you go? Oh, man, you know I don't talk about religion. Then she just answered your question. Say, Carla, I love you so much. I want to share this with you. Romans 3 says, all have sinned. Carla, the Bible says, Romans 6, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And Romans 10 says, Carla, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Carla, say this prayer with me, Heavenly Father. And guess what? Carla will get saved. I was in Maine at that same church, and this one lady, when I told them to pull out their phones and flip down them, this lady, I forget the name of the lady, but she said, I saw that name, and I was like, oh, no, I ain't calling her. She's a tough one. After she said that, this same lady calls her. She was like, okay, Lord. After I dismissed, she ran to a Sunday school room and called this lady. She said, I hadn't talked to this lady in months. And she said, me and my husband have been working on her for years. Well, guys, it's time to quit working on them. Give them the love of God. Give them the word of God in love and reap that harvest. Amen? She calls this lady. This lady says, you know what? It's no mistake you called me. I just want to share this with you. The lady, after years, got saved. Wow. Amen? Amen? Isn't that awesome? The lady got saved. If I told y'all tonight, and I said, I can guarantee you, your friend, your family member, your coworker, whoever is not saved that you know would get saved tonight, would you call them? We're not promised tomorrow. I know we're all faith people, but let's just be real. We're not promised tomorrow. February 8th of this year, I had a car wreck. And the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy. Amen? I'm a safe driver most of the time. But we're not promised. And so how sad would it be if you worked with someone for 20 years and they died just freak? You know, people die just... You know, we're hearing it nowadays of, you know, for just any reason. And so how sad would it be you work with this person for 20 years, not even know where they go to church or what their beliefs are. Amen? We've got to step out. I promise you, if you reach out to them, they will get saved. Maybe not tonight, but they will, because that word will not return void. And the Bible says if it's a family member, in Acts 16, verse 31, that if you believe on the Lord, you will be saved and your household. So you have a promise. Amen? So I want you to do that after we leave tonight. And then tomorrow, can we meet back here tomorrow? Or where would you like to meet? I'd like to take, yeah, let's just meet here at 10. If you can go out, we can go out, walk around the downtown area here, and lead people to Jesus. We'll eat lunch, and then we'll let you guys loose. I really appreciate y'all. How many of y'all have been passing out the tracts and helping the church with this event? Thank y'all for doing that. Amen. We're going to reap a mighty harvest. There's one more scripture I want to share with you. Back in John, I told you we'd go back there. John chapter 4. Jesus said, wake up, look around, the fields are already ripe for harvest. The harvesters are paid good wages. The harvesters are paid good wages. The fruit they harvest is people. Not only do you reap the harvest, but you get paid. Amen. If you're a farmer, you just don't farm and not get paid. Amen. So if you win souls, you get paid. Do any of y'all need a job? Do you need an increase? Go win souls. I started doing it. Amen. I get blessed with cars and things because God knows that I will use that car or use that tool to get someone saved. Harvesters are paid good wages. The fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. What joy awaits both the planter and harvester alike. You know the saying, one plants, another harvests. Jesus said, all that's true. But look at verse 38. He said, one plants, another harvests. That's true, but I sent you to reap. I sent you to reap. You know, we've done church outreaches and we said, you know, Pastor, we sold a lot of good seed. Well, that's cool. But Jesus said all of that. Yeah, one plants, another harvests. Jesus said, that's true, but I sent you, church. I sent this church here in Longmont, Colorado, to be reapers. A lot of the word's been preached. I know our ministry, what, Steve, 46 years now, 47? Our ministry has been preaching the uncompromised word of God in homes, conventions, all over the world. The word has been sown. Amen. At every sporting match, you see John 3:16. The word's been out there. It's time to reap. Amen? If you walk out to get that tomato off the vine, what do you have to do? What do you have to do? Is it going to walk itself? Is it going to jump off the vine and run itself to your sink so it can get cleaned up so you can slice it and put it on that hamburger? No, you got to pluck it off the vine. Amen. Does that tomato have a choice whether it gets plucked off or not? Do the people that God sends you to have an option? They don't. Look at this. One more scripture. I promise this is the last one. Josh, if I lie again, come knock me down. This is the last scripture. Go to Jude, verse 20. But you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, we've had a Holy Ghost party, run around the church, jumped pews and aisles, and stopped there. I want to challenge you when you see those scriptures, continue reading. It says, and await the mercy of our Lord Jesus, who will bring you eternal life. In this way, you'll keep yourself safe in God's love. If you do this in love, you'll never get harassed. You'll never get laughed at. You'll never get in confrontation. They've called this confrontational evangelism. I've never been in a confrontation. I've done this all over. It says, verse 22, notice after each verse there's an and. So that means it's connected. Verse 22, and you must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. What about that family member that's coming to Thanksgiving this year? Show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. Verse 23, rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. There are people that are on their way to hell that are just hanging in the balance, waiting for you to snatch them. They don't even know what they're doing. They're doing what lost people do. Show mercy still to others, but do so with great caution, hating the sins that contaminate their lives. God hates the sin. He loves the sinner. God loves those people. He just hates the sin. Everyone has a soul. Amen. Bow your head. Close your eyes. No one looking around. The Bible says in Revelations, it says, Jesus said there, he said, I wish you were either hot or cold. But he said, because you're lukewarm, you're like vomit in my mouth. You said, well, Riley, we're a grace church. That's awesome. I believe in grace. But when I stand in front of my Lord and Savior, I want him to say, well done. I don't want him to say, lukewarm. Amen? And if I were to ask you guys tonight on a scale from 1 to 5, 1 being lukewarm, 5 being totally hot, sold out for God, if I were to ask you tonight, if you're anywhere in between, raise your hand, where would you be? If you're not 100% on fire, raise your hand. I want to say a prayer with you. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Amen? You can put it back down. And that's what we do when we walk up to someone. They say, I'm a Christian. Well, that's awesome. We're a Christian. But you can be a Christian and not know God. You can know about him, but not know him. My father-in-law said Sunday as we were driving, he said, Riley, I knew God as my Savior. I knew Jesus as my Savior. But he said, until recently, he is now my Lord. Amen. So I want to say a quick prayer with all of you. Let's all stand and say this after me. Say, Heavenly Father, anything that's kept me from you, I lay it down tonight. I give you my life 100%. I denounce that spirit of fear. It has no place in my life. I'm a soul winner. I'll go where you tell me to go. I'll say what you tell me to say. I'll use what you give me to be a blessing to others. And Lord, as I'm obedient to you, your word says when I reap, I get wages. I get increase. And I thank you for that, and I receive it. In Jesus' name. Now, Lord, I thank you for each person here, Lord, that a new boldness, a new fire, Lord, to see their friends saved, their family saved, Lord, their coworkers, Lord, even people who they don't know, Lord, I thank you. A new boldness, a new fire comes on them, Lord, to see their Lord, just to reach out, Lord, I thank you. You give them eyes, Lord, put Holy Ghost contacts over their eyes to see people as you would see them, Lord. And I just thank you there's a change in this city because of this church tonight, Lord. Lord, we just thank you that there will be increase, Lord, because we're blessed to be a blessing. And Lord, we thank you for that. We believe we receive it in Jesus' name. Pastor?
Well, you know, we've been saying for as long as we've been in ministry, God always sends us his best. And, you know, he's done that tonight, and I'm so grateful. I know for a long time I've said, Jesus, we need an evangelist to teach us. You know, my church knows how to pray because they got a praying pastor. That's my call. But I said, God, give us an evangelist. And, you know, I'm so thrilled. Now, for those of you who are visitors, something about this church. We are the most introverted group of people I have ever seen in my life. I tell you, I'm dumbfounded by it. And who does God send us? An evangelist who is an introvert. Okay, I want to make that clear to you. I mean, this guy is winning entire restaurants to Christ. Did you hear that tonight? And he's an introvert. Okay. Now, Dwayne, would you put up on the banner where I think we have the mountains, but it is Hebrews 9:11. Can you put that up? Not the verse, but just the banner. Is that right, Matthew? We have the banner? All right. Okay, praise the Lord. You guys are doing great. On the fly. We could say it without that, but I want to see it if we can get it. No, sir. Okay. Well, it says this, for those of you who aren't familiar with it. It simply says this, and we're going to stop at the first comma. Okay? And we'll put a period there. It says, Jesus Christ has become the high priest of good things to come. Now, in context for tonight, what are those good things to come? People being saved at your ministry in their lives. Now, just quickly, we're still believing. Countdown now is like T-minus 3 days and counting. Registrations are still coming in. Oh, there it is. Isn't that pretty? Let's say it again. Jesus has become the high priest of good things to come. I tell you what, Saturday's going to be dynamite. I expect all of you there and all of your families there. And we just need the help to serve the people. Registration numbers are going up. We're still believing God for that 400. And a lot of them may show up, that just show up that day, and that's fine. Praise the Lord. But come ready. Just say, listen, look at your hands. My hands are loaded. In Jesus' name, praise God. Well, God bless you as you go. Brothers, thanks for being with us. It's awesome. It's awesome. Praise the Lord. Tomorrow at 10 o'clock, if you can be here, praise the Lord.